From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Barack Obama's pastor is in hot water for getting political from the pulpit, even saying, quote, "God damn America" during a sermon. Will Obama have to distance himself from the man who baptized his children? Plus, New York's first black governor is getting ready to take his seat on Monday. Joining us now, we've got Clarence Page, columnist for the Chicago Tribune and CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello there.
So ABC News took a deep look into the man who has been Obama's pastor for the last 20 years at Trinity United Church of Christ. Reverend Jeremiah Wright leads Obama's church on Chicago's South Side. Now some of his sermons are causing controversy for the senators. Clarence, let me ask you first. You write for the Tribune. You've lived in the area. What do you know about Reverend Wright?
Well, Reverend Wright's church is quite prominent, very well respected, quite middle class, if you will, but actually a refreshing mix of people. I've been there. I've been to service. I've been to a wedding was how I first discovered it, and I was immediately struck by how intellectually provocative the minister was with his mix of that old-time religion. I said, oh, I'd like to come back here again. This is long before Barack Obama became presidential candidate and all, but the characterizations of it I hear on Fox News with Sean Hannity and other conservatives who are making it out like a branch of Louis Farrakhan's temple just don't fit reality.
What's the reputation of the church in Chicago?
The reputation is a very good one. I mean, not a political heavy political reputation, although Reverend Wright himself is a liberation theologian. He has had a lot of political interest himself, but he also has known Minister Farrakhan in the past. It's not true that he directly honored Minister Farrakhan. A magazine published by his daughter did for the Nation of Islam's church. Prison work with convicts and ex-convicts. Their profile was not huge until they became part of this national controversy.
Now, ABC News's Brian Ross did a special report on Reverend Wright and his sermons. Many of them are for sale by the church. And so ABC quoted the pastor talking about what the U.S. government does to black Americans. And Reverend Wright said, the government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America. Oh, no, no. Goddamn America for treating our citizens as less than human. Goddamn America for as long as she acts like she is God and she is supreme. Now, Bill, there's a couple of different threads here. One is in many branches of Christianity, the whole idea that no one is supreme to God is just a basic tenet of the church. Another thing is that, of course, in many black churches over time have dealt with civil rights, have dealt with being antagonistic towards what they perceived rightly as government oppression. Where does that critique, the righteous critique end, and speech go out of bounds? And how is this playing out in the press? Should there be an examination of the history of the church in the context of these sermons?
Well, he's been blasted in the mainstream press for criticizing George W. Bush, for, Clarence was saying, for praising Louis Farrakhan, but there's a whole story here that we need to talk about. As Clarence was saying, in Chicago, now I'm looking at this from afar, coming from Los Angeles, but I have looked at the website, and the church says that it's committed to the black community, it's committed to the black family, it's committed to pursuit of excellence for education and for the work ethic. So it's not just a simple story, but the problem is, we're in an election year, and in an election year, everything gets heightened. There's not a simple statement that's said, and when you've got a minister who is so closely tied to a candidate as the Reverend Wright is with Obama, I guarantee you will hear his name again and again and again throughout this election year.
So, Bill, what do you think that the senator needs to watch out for in terms of how this story plays out, and do you think it's going to have legs?
If he is the nominee, if he is finally chosen as the nominee for the Democratic Party, I guarantee you this will have legs. But what Obama has said repeatedly is that this is his minister. and the minister is speaking words that resonate with him and with his congregation. He is not speaking for Barack Obama. I think he's made it pretty clear that they are two separate people speaking two separate messages. But whether he's going to be able to hold on to that distance through until November, that's the big question.
I want to ask you, Clarence, and then go back to Bill with the same question. Earlier this week, you had a huge amount of outcry over comments by Geraldine Ferraro, who was on the vice presidential ticket. And what responsibility do advisors, pastors, supporters have to play by the rules that the candidates play by? What's the difference in terms of how Geraldine Ferraro's remarks played out and how the minister's remarks will play out?
Well, for one thing, Obama can't ask Reverend Wright to retire or resign from his campaign because he's not in the campaign. Geraldine Ferraro was a fundraiser, not an inner circle figure, but still one who was involved in trying to help Hillary Clinton get elected. Reverend Wright is not. He's not even the active pastor of his church. He retired recently, so it's a bit different. And Obama has already distanced himself from remarks the minister his minister made. These new quotes have come up. I'm sure Obama is going to be approached to renounce those remarks as well, or distance himself in any case. But it's a this is a rather unprecedented situation. I can't recall when a presidential candidate has been chased in regard to the church he or she goes to. We do see, though, also John McCain being criticized for not distancing himself from a Texas televangelist who has a reputation for anti-Catholic comments. So this is a new playing field that we have here.
Yeah, Pastor Hagee, John McCain came under a lot of fire for that.
Right.
I want to circle back, Bill, to Geraldine Ferraro. How much of a lasting impact will those remarks have? I mean, it sounds like there may be legs for this question about Reverend Wright and Obama. Is the Ferraro discussion going to leave a bad taste in some voters' mouths?
I think so. I think it's just this constant drip, drip, drip of injecting race into this campaign, as though you could not have race in this campaign this year. But it seems like such a long time ago, but it was just back before South Carolina when people were questioning whether Barack Obama was black enough and talking about, the black vote was sort of split between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and now that seems to have solidified. And comments like this don't really help, especially since the Democrats are going to need both women and African Americans come November. And right now, it almost seems as though, it makes me wonder if Ferraro and Clinton were just tone deaf as to how hurtful this was, not just to Obama and African Americans, but to the party in general. Or if, it sort of makes you wonder if there might have been some method to the madness. Was this sort of something they perhaps wanted to get out there? I'm confused about that myself, to tell you the truth.
Well, I want to leave us with a final note about Lieutenant Governor David Patterson of New York, who's about to become the governor. He has not gotten as much press as the man leaving the office, Elliot Spitzer. But then again, he doesn't have to deal with reports that he spent $80,000 on prostitutes. So a reporter asked Patterson if he'd ever gone to a prostitute, and he said, only the lobbyists. So he's going into this tough job with a sense of humor, Clarence. He's going to be the first black governor of New York, America's first legally blind governor. He's got a huge budget deadline looming. Just quickly, what do we expect from this man in terms of leadership?
Well, he is quite an interesting figure himself. He comes from a political family. His father's Basil Patterson, who is a nationally known Democratic figure from Harlem. And He has grown up in the political realm and has a great reputation in Albany, the New York State capital, for bringing people together, more of a Barack Obama kind of figure than Spitzer, who had a reputation for sharp elbows, shall we say, as he pushed reforms through. So folks are not expecting Patterson to be as aggressive of a reformer. And Albany, like a lot of state legislatures, can use some better ethics codes and reform along those lines. But he is expected to be a guy who can get things done.
Bill, just quickly, when you think about this year where you've got the first black governor of New York through some very unexpected circumstances, you have a black man running for president, and then you have some other issues like the Detroit mayor, how is this going to be written up as a year for African Americans in politics?
What a year. Seriously, what a year. You know, I've been talking to my kids, and just the whole Obama phenomenon. I told them, you know, in my experience, I guess I just never quite thought I'd live to see a year quite like this, where you actually have an African American who has a real chance of winning his party's nomination to be president of the United States. That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. I mean, you know, it's a sea change, in the United States. You know, whether this will play out, how it will play out, you know, that's why we're all sitting on the ends of our seats watching. But, you know, it's a phenomenal year.
And it's a good year to be a journalist. So, gentlemen, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Bill Whitaker is a CBS News correspondent, and he joined us here in our NPR West studios. And Clarence Page is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune.